Grace, mercy, and peace are yours and indeed are Hannah Marie's from God your Father in and from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you measure your success here at the seminary? Is it by the number of A's that you got last quarter? Is it by finding out that indeed you passed Church History 1? Is it by realizing that you have a few dollars left over after all your tuition is paid? Is it by getting something special from the food bank rather than frozen chicken? Is it by keeping your family healthy through this difficult, strange, weird Indiana winter? Is it by forming a few new good friendships? How do you measure success? Well, in our text today, Peter had a very good idea of what success looked like to him. He wanted a Jesus who would be an earthly success. You know, one who would be powerful, who would be respected worldwide, who would have many servants, and who would dispatch justice quickly and readily, especially against the Herodians and the Romans. Indeed, if we were to move Peter to our day and age with the attitudes he exhibits in the text, Peter would want a Christ who rode in limousines, who spoke at press conferences to hundreds of reporters, and who controlled the United Nations and who owned many corporations, maybe even a casino. And today, you and I are tempted to want a similar Jesus, a Jesus who is a success in the world's terms, a Jesus who is an awesome God, in the words of that favorite Lutheran hymn, and perhaps one who simply, in the words of an old country Western, is going to kick you through the goalposts of life. You've heard this Jesus described before. You know, with language like this, why I see Jesus building his kingdom all around us. Or, Jesus is making me happier and happier every day. Or, Jesus heard my prayer and said to me, Robert, go buy a Cadillac for your mother. Or, how about this one? Fellow listeners, Jesus has added 300 souls as a result of our broadcast last night. Hallelujah! Jesus has richly blessed us, so send in your offerings, and I'm sure the Spirit will make more tomorrow. But our sinful desire for a successful Jesus comes in a much more sinister way. It is because we ourselves, in our own completely corrupt and fallen condition, desire our own success for our own identity and for our own security. As we look back on all of our lives, can't we just see those big flashing red signs? Be a success, be a success, be a success at work, at school, in our families, with our homes. But yet we still ask, how am I going to be a success? Where do I find my place in this world? How do we meet the expectations of our families and our friends? Yes, we yearn for this worldly peace and this worldly success. This is the sinner in us hard at work. In a sense, we are helpless, fallen creatures that search for the very successful Jesus that Peter was looking for. But Jesus describes success in totally different terms. Jesus turns the world upside down. He sets forth a theology based upon suffering and death. His is a theology of the cross. The world's is a theology of glory. And Jesus' theology, the cross of discipleship, is not a matter of becoming better and better as a Christian, but of cross-bearing and suffering. Life is not gained by chasing it, but by denying it and losing it and renouncing it. Those who are great in the kingdom are not those who dominate, but those who serve. Those who are blind see. The truth is kept from the worldly wise and given back to babes. The poor in spirit, the mourners, and those who are meek are blessed. The poor are rich and the rich are poor. The foolish are wise and the wise are foolish. The weak are strong and the strong are foolish. Indeed, this theology of the cross really turns everything completely upside down. For indeed, Jesus is turning everything upside down, even though you and I and Jesus' own disciples often have difficulty recognizing it at times. Martin Luther had these things to say about success and the theology of the cross. Now, it is not sufficient for anyone, and it does him no good, to recognize God in his glory and majesty unless he recognizes him in the humility and shame of the cross. He also said, a theology of glory calls evil good and good evil. A theologian of the cross calls the thing what it actually is. And finally, from Luther, he deserves to be called a theologian who comprehends the visible and manifest things of God seen through the suffering and the cross. Just as Jesus walked to Jerusalem and to his cross seems to be anything but a success, our walk through this Lenten season also does not seem like a success. However, we with St. Paul rejoice in our sufferings, for we know that in this upside-down, wonderful theology of the cross, Christ's victory is his sufferings, and our victory then is in Christ. Our sufferings are of meaning because Christ's sufferings resulted in his death and blessing for us. The death of Jesus was not defeat, but it was victory. Victory for you and for me. It didn't look like success, but it was success for us. Now, do you want to see the true success of God? Then just behold little Hannah Marie, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, her Savior, on this day. In the greatest of upside-down miracles, through simple water and through the Word, Jesus has given Hannah Marie new life, a new birth, victory over sin, death, and the devil. This is Hannah Marie's success. No matter what might come Hannah Marie's way, no matter what problem she might have in the world, she can always say, I have been given success. I am a success because I have been given Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil through my baptism. I have been baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. As our hymn said, I am baptized. That is Hannah Marie's victory, because that baptism talks about nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ itself. And so as Hannah Marie says, I am baptized, you can say that as well. In Jesus' name, amen.